given to you this week. Close your eyes. We're going to pray again, and you're not going to notice me that I forgot to get the clicker again. So, Lord, we thank you very much that this old man's memory isn't what it used to be, and it's getting worse by the hour. So, Father, we thank you that you're moving, and we can laugh at ourselves. Because you know what I say, God, if you can't laugh at yourself, you miss a lot of good jokes. So, Father God, move today in your name. What I am talking about today is called Embrace the Power of Thanksgiving. And I'm going to talk from Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, I was going to be corny and have you all shout, but I won't. It's okay to be mellow. So, in your heart, I just hear you shouting. Oh, I shouted last night. I shouted yesterday afternoon because I'm a Michigan fan. I shouted last night when Syracuse finally learned how to play football again. So I can shout for Jesus. So shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. I don't feel like it. Well, you better feel like it. In fact, I don't care if you feel like it. Because human beings think feelings are powerful, and they are, but they're not godly. God is godly. Our feelings are not. Worship the Lord with gladness. But you don't know my situation. Oh, too bad, but I know your God. Come before him singing with joy. I'm not putting down situations. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people. I hate it when pastors do this, but I have the power today because I'm up here and you're not. I want you to turn to somebody and say, you are his people. Good enough. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Thank you, Kate and Randy, for worship today. I love worshiping God. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. We've been speaking, as I've mentioned last week, about change is coming, you know, about unity, because we can get disgruntled when things don't go our way, etc., etc., etc. This is a season of preparation, and I'm excited. I just got to sit back and relax. You know, one thing I remember about my dad, and I really appreciate it, is when things were going a little bit rough, and I thought the world was caving in, I could go and talk to him, and my dad could just kind of sit back, put things in perspective. Like the night I went to buy Melody Dockstader an engagement ring. That's the door. I got this close to the store. I said, I can't do this, and I turned around. Oh, did I tell you she was right next to me? So we go back to her apartment in Syracuse. I called my dad. He just starts laughing. Talk about fatherly. You know, my life just ended and he's laughing. He goes, Dick, I know you love her. You're just getting cold feet. He talked to me about it. So the next day it worked out. But he had a way to calmly react to me, to take the emotion out of the situation and to look at life. You know, we've been speaking on a lot of things. We've been speaking on unity. We've been speaking out on our need to reach out with the gospel about change. Isaiah 43. Man, we're getting there. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. I don't know how, but God calls us all by name. He sees each one of us all the time, and he's with us. Close your eyes. This is God speaking to you. He says to you, you are mine. You can open your eyes. I'm going to ask you, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't said, you know what, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. Here I am, take my life. This is the place to be, because we're going to close in prayer at the end of the meeting, and you can do that. In fact, you can do that right now. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is what I want you to focus on today. Focus on being thankful. Focus on the fact that you are a child of God. I am God's. When I breathe my last, I am with Jesus Christ. First point I want to make tonight, we need to be replenished in joy. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. You need to look at your life and to be thankful. You need to be happy with what God did for you. It doesn't mean life is going to be fantastic. It doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that Michigan's going to be Ohio State every year. What it means is Jesus Christ, through thick and thin, is my God, and he's with me every step of the way. We need to choose. Are you going to be a victim, or are you going to be victorious? Look at Paul. I'm just reading in Ephesians, where the people he's writing to, he's concerned that they're bummed out, that he's in jail and suffering. And he's not saying, man, life stinks. You should see the cockroaches. You should see what's in the corner. He's saying, I'm worried about you because you're worried about me. That's a man that had Christ. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praise. You know, spiritual warfare, it tempts us to emphasize our hardships and setbacks. Oh boy, let me tell you what I'm going through. And I've said this before, and I don't mean to be offensive to anybody, but sometimes I don't want your Jesus. I don't want the Jesus Christ where you walk around gloomy and doomy and life sucks. I want the Jesus Christ that says, hey, life is terrible right now, but Jesus is on the throne and I'm going forward. That's the Jesus I want us to have. When we're in spiritual warfare, we concentrate on what we lack rather than what we are blessed with. I saw a stupid commercial on TV. I'm watching an SU game, it's Lexus or something. I don't know when, I think it's BMW. And a ribbon blows off a house and it lands on this BMW, and this old man comes out and goes, you shouldn't have. If it was me, I'd say, yeah, I didn't. It's mine. But I hate Christmas. And this, you know, Christmas means giving your spouse a really cool car or money, money, money. No. No. But I don't have this. But what do I have? I have a home in heaven. I have a God that's going to encourage me. I have hope when I look at situations that break my heart. Yes, I still deal with those emotions, but I have hope. Spiritual warfare is poverty mentality. Maybe I buy like 50 tickets to Ghana, and I take you to Kumasi, and I take you to some bathrooms you ain't going to want to be in. And you're going to come back and say, I am so rich. We live in a world that tells us more, but I got it all. godliness with contentment is great gain. I am so excited that God wants us to break out the bondage of self-interest and celebrate the fullness of God. I like what a friend of mine said. Not only is he a pessimist and his glass is half full, somebody probably spit in the glass that's left. I can relate to that. I am more pessimistic than optimistic, so I have to battle that. The pessimism assumes the worst. Here's the attitude of a pessimist. It's often negative. You don't look at the bright side. You find fault with everything and see what's bad. You often fail to appreciate others. They are rarely grateful or say thanks. Pessimists regularly feel someone has wronged them. They find fault in most situations or interactions, and things are rarely good enough. They often hold grudges and have difficulty letting go of things. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't have a grudge against us when he asks him to forgive us? He does. Pessimists tend to fear change. Perceiving it is too risky. Here's a question I have for Dick Beaumont and for the rest of you. What are you doing today that requires faith? What are you doing today that's risky? There's some things in my life God's really been challenging me on, and I don't like it. I don't like it, but I know I got to obey God. I like this quote. I can't remember. It didn't have the name. He who forgets the language of gratitude can never be on speaking terms with happiness. Do you know, studies show, when you develop gratitude and you're thankful, it actually changes your life. It changes your outlook. It changes your emotions. Satan wants you to look at the negatives in your life when God wants you to look at the positives. If we were in prison with Paul, and I'm not talking about this Oswego County one, would we be happy? How about the guys that are in jail at midnight and they're singing, chained to guards and with not the best situations? But they're singing. Why? Because they got an internal Jesus. They got the Holy Spirit welling up within them. They are not in bondage to their situation. We need to revel in the joy of knowing God. I remember the first Christmas after I gave my life to Christ, how different it was. I still enjoyed all the trappings, but it meant something to me. It wasn't this religious thing of you do this, we sing the songs, everybody's great. People need joy. How do you know that? Some people in my neighborhood have had Christmas lights up before Halloween. And I'm sorry. Why? Because I want to celebrate. And that's not going to last, because newsflash, January's coming. And it's like nothing to celebrate in January. But Jesus Christ, I used to really struggle with, and I still do, seasonal, whatever they call it, depression, whatever, when January and February comes. But I've really gotten over it a little bit because my eyes are on Christ. When I was up north, that was one of the things that people said to me after a few years. They said, man, you don't have the same attitude about winter. It's only because of God's grace. I still don't like it. But I am thankful because I got together with some people yesterday from the Carthage area. They got 6 feet of snow. How much you get? I said, man, that got me a good 5 inches, and it was kind of tough clearing that off. But anyways, and then I decked as they tried to hit me. In our lives, we need to let God be the one who's in control. We hate that. We like the clicker, if I remember to pick it up. I like the remote control when I'm watching the one show my wife watches with me, because she has this disorder where she doesn't like TV. like I do. We need to acknowledge God and praise him for who he is and pray. praise him for what he's done. That he knows you by name and says, child, you are mine. You see, we're the sheep of his pasture. I know sheep are dumber than rocks, but so are we compared to God. I want to be like that little child. Well, I got me some good pictures hanging out with my little grandson on my lap. We're watching TV together, you know, and we're just hanging out. Life's good, man. I want to be like that with Jesus. Sometimes I just come in here during the afternoon and I turn everything off. I just sit right there. Say, God, we're just going to hang out together. Don't pray. Don't say anything. Just allow the Holy Spirit to touch me because I am the sheep of his pasture. Sheep gather around and look to their shepherd. Do you know we're created to be in relationship with Jesus? Why do some people put their Christmas lights up in October to fill that void? Why do so many people go into debt at Christmas time? Because they're trying to bring a happiness that only Jesus Christ can bring. I love gifts. Told my family this year, Puffs with Vicks. Those things are amazing. When I had COVID, I wanted to marry them. Or I need two Aqua washcloths. Things like that make me happy. Now, if you want to get me a Lexus, okay, I tolerate it. I get it, you know. I just want to be thankful. The thing I like about my wife, I can get her the stupidest gift, and she loves it. No, she's truly thankful. I want to be like that. You see, we're created to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you're not, you got a void. That's why people do drugs. That's why people do that. That's why there's so much debauchery going on because we're trying to fill that void. I was there and had done that, but I'd still wake up in the middle of the night wishing I wasn't alive because there was something missing. Then Jesus said, child, you're mine. And boom. Did life turn around instantly? Are you nuts? No. But it didn't have a hold on me anymore. You see, only true peace can come through Christ. Know that the Lord is God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You're doing good for a holiday weekend. We're on our last point. Take a deep breath. We're getting there. There's power in thanksgiving and praise. I heard, I don't know who said it. I listened to the radio this week, and boy, did I get convicted. It was about the prodigal. And I might get this right. I might not. But you won't know unless you heard it. So this wife goes to church and the husband doesn't. The wife comes back and said, man, you should have heard worship today. It was really bad. It was country and western. Then throughout the week, she goes, you know, the pastor, he's preaching. It kind of puts me to sleep every once in a while. And then complains, let me tell you about Anthony DePiro. Let me tell you what he's doing in church. Sunday comes. Hey, you want to go to church with me? Why would I want to go to church where the worship is no good, the pastor is boring, and Anthony DePiro's there? So what am I saying? We got to learn to be quiet. Sometimes we produce the prodigals by our attitudes. Why? We highlight the negatives. We highlight the idiocracy that we have to deal with in church rather than giving Jesus Christ the glory. There is power in thanksgiving and praise. Do I wish this church was in a different place, not physically but spiritually? Of course I do. But I know that day coming, and I praise God for what's going on today. I love how in Philippians, Paul writes about he's learned to be content with if he has a lot or if he has a little. And the thing I love about it is I know he means it. You know, and David, the psalmist, is saying to us, he wants us to understand how being thankful and praising God empowers us. I love old Neil Young music, but I'm careful how much I listen to, because the man's depressive. I remember before I got saved, I'd be in college, I'd be listening to him. Good friend of mine, Bobby. Man, that guy's depressive. Why do you listen to him? So you know what I do? What I did in my office today, man. I just turned on some praise music. Yeah, I worship God. I turn off the sports, I turn off the classic rocks, and I just praise God, and I have a good old time ministering to my own soul. You see, when I look to God, it releases the pressure that the world gives me. Some of us are depressed because we're in control, and we are not meant to handle being in control. The more that gets humped on my shoulders, I got to turn to God, or I'm going to get really bummed. I'm going to be overwhelmed. We're not meant to be in control. You cannot be happy. You can't be happy internally if you try to be in control. It's not that we don't do anything, but we allow the Lord to guide our steps. Understanding this truth frees us from so much self-imposed pressure. I remember when I first became a senior pastor, one of the things it did was really strip me of any self-reliance, because I was face to face with how useless and frail I was on my own, and I needed Jesus Christ. Giving thanks does something. Praising God lifts up our souls. We need to refocus. When I was growing up, TVs were humongous. And if the TV went, you didn't think about lifting the stupid thing. If you lived in Morrisville, New York, you would call Bill Davis. And Bill Davis, I loved it when he came. I was his little shaver. Bill Davis would come, and he would have this humongous suitcase. And he would open it, and then it had layers, and the thing would just lay across the living room. He had bulbs, he had pictures, he had all kinds of stuff. And it was so cool as a little guy just to watch him open up the TV and take this bulb out, put this one in, and then he'd look at all these different things, and it's just like, wow. If your TV was out of focus, you call Bill Davis. If your zip code is 13408. If your zip code is 13126, don't call Bill Davis. Call Jesus Christ. I don't care what your zip code is. You need to turn to God. And some of you today, God is saying, it's time for you to really focus on me. I love the song. I quote this probably once a month, Keith Green. It is so hard to see when my eyes are on me. We need to look to Jesus Christ. Thankfulness weakens the hold desires have on us. God never changes. His love is forever. Our circumstances are coming and going. We need to rejoice because we are blessed and favored by God. In 1789, and hang with me, I'm coming to the close, President George Washington issued a proclamation designating November 26th of that year as a national day of thanksgiving to recognize the role of Providence, i.e. God, in creating the new United States and the new federal Constitution. Let's be thankful, Lord, we come before you right now. If we watch any TV, it is designed to make us feel needy. It is designed to make us not feel thankful. It is designed to make us feel like we have a poverty, that we need the biggest and the best. I don't care if you watch CNN or Fox. The news is meant to grab your emotions so you stick around and they get good ratings. Father, we need you. Lord, I read this quote on this thing about Washington, President Washington. We live in a country where some federal judge says it's unconstitutional to do public prayer. We wonder why this country's going to hell in a handbasket. Because we shut you out, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. Forgive us as Christians, Lord, as a church, for the places where we have regulated you to the sidelines. And I'm going to boldly say right now, as I'm praying, God is pinpointing to some of you that he wants you to come in deeper. But the choice is yours. He's not going to drag you. But I'm also boldly going to say, if you don't, you won't be blessed. That's how it works. And we say no to God. We say no to the blessings that he's extending to us. It's not a works thing. It's a rewards thing. So, Lord, I pray that we would be thankful, that we would shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth, that when we are in church on Sunday morning, and lo and behold, a song comes up we may not know or we don't like that much, that we say no to self, and we sing praises to the living God. We open up the throne room of heaven. We open that connection when we step over ourselves and say, God, I need you. Help us to be thankful. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have given us. Lord, I thank you for how blessed we are. I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you that I'm a part of New Covenant. I pray for everybody that needs an extra touch from you today, Lord. That they would just open up their arms and allow you, Father, to touch them in a mighty and powerful way, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. And if anybody needs to make that commitment to you, Lord, let them just say yes right now, Father. Without a lot of fanfare, just a simple acknowledgement to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.